Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Welcome to the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast, everyone. I'm your host, John Lossworth. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mark Hoppmeyer.
Jeff Goldblum's going to be in Thor Ragnarok.
I read that. Jeff Goldblum, Cate Blanchett, I think John Malkovich.
Carl Urban.
It wasn't John Malkovich, right? He wasn't in there.
No, but that'd be amazing as Birdman.
Oh, yeah. Well, Michael Keaton's going to be the Vulture in a new Spider-Man movie.
Wait, wasn't there a Birdman character, or was that from Birdman? Oh, crap, I'm getting my Birdman messed up.
Well, it's funny. He goes from Birdman to now doing the Vulture in Spider-Man.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like it's a very Michael Keaton career move.
Wait, and he was a bat.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
He loves being winged creatures. You know, but Jeff Goldblum, so I was reading his character, and everything changes in the Marvel Universe, but I guess in the comics, his character is the one responsible for, like, allowing Thanos to come to Earth. Like, really? What's your reaction if you're the one that allows Thanos to come to Earth? Just go, oops? Like,
it kind of, my first reaction is like, well, it's Jeff Goldblum, so it's got to be cool. But
yeah,
my second reaction, after I've had a chance to think about it, I was like, well, doesn't that kind of diminish what Thanos is? Like, you kind of make him a pawn instead of, like, being the chess player, right?
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Marvel's done a, well, actually, no.
Actually, he's been trying to play chess, but he keeps losing. So,
yeah.
They've already established Thanos as being terrible at chess.
Well, here's the problem. Marvel hasn't really been doing a great job when it comes to their villains in their movies, anyway. The only villain I can think of in the MCU that's done really well is Loki.
Yeah,
I can't.
And Baron Zemo's been getting a lot of love.
Yeah,
but he's more of a plot device, I guess.
I don't know. I'm really curious to see how, because they built up Thanos, but they haven't really fleshed him out yet. So
yeah, he just sort of sits in the chair.
Yeah, you've never seen him like actually do anything else, right?
Do you think Jeff Goldblum is just going to play Jeff Goldblum?
I hope he plays Jeff Goldblum. But like,
and he accidentally,
yeah,
he deals with a lot of aliens in his movies. He did Buckaroo Banzai, Independence Day.
Yeah. Oh, he's in
The Fly
too. So
he's what?
He's in Independence Day too.
Oh yeah. What, Resurgence or something like that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm looking forward to that movie? It's like an unapologetic bigger sequel.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like making excuse. You know, some sequels are like, yeah, it's bigger, but we're still really arty. This one's like,
no.
we are going full sequel.
I mean, that I'm glad they're being honest about it. Like, you know, we're not trying to be like, you know, we're not trying to win Oscars here. We're just trying to make bank.
Right. Like, they're back with a bigger ship.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Like, I love it. It's like, okay, cool.
Well, if you were the aliens, what would you do? Like, all the humans just kind of repelled your attack and blew up most of your ships. Wouldn't you just bring, like, a bigger ship?
Yeah. <Right? laughs> That will get blown up by Randy Quaid's son.
Oh, great. I don't know. I hope, like, in the new Thor movie, Jeff Goldblum plays Jeff Goldblum, but, like, to, like, the 10th degree. Like, Jeff Goldblum on Jeff Goldblum steroids. You know?
Yeah,
it's like
Jeff
Goldblum
in a sequel.
Yeah, like he goes full on Goldblum, like he can't stop.
he doesn't even say dialogue; he just has ticks the entire time.
It's like, hey, there's a door here, and a Hulk here. And we'll put these two together.
What's this door here? Who's this guy in the recliner? Oh, yeah. I let him through.
Hmm. Yeah, our Jeff Goldblum impressions aren't that great.
Yeah, and then someone's like, "Son of a bitch, Jeff Goldblum, you just let Thanos through." Hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey!
I'm the human here. I'm the human. Right. Actually, he was in a movie called Earth Girls Are Easy too. So like he really loves alien movies.
he knows his wheelhouse, you know.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's time to start the podcast, like we do every podcast. Listener questions. Mark, you got the questions for us this week?
I do, and I have a plethora in the words of Three Amigos, okay. And I know what plethora means.
Right.
So even if you're in a bad mood right now, John, don't call me out for saying the word plethora, like El Wapo did.
Plethora. It's a fun word to say. Like, he just.
And they got him a sweater that he wrapped around his shoulders. Guys, watch Three Amigos. It's Galaxy Quest before Galaxy Quest. It's pretty amazing. All right, so since we're going to be talking about X-Men Apocalypse and the X-Men film world, I asked for some questions, and here's some of the ones I got. And this one comes from Ham Sandwich, and he goes, what mutant power would the MFF prefer, and how would they abuse it? So for me, I've said this multiple times, I want to jump. I want to be a jumper.
So you go with Nightcrawler, right?
Yeah, but like turn to like 11.
Right.
Like, can Nightcrawler like jump from here? Like, could he jump that far?
You mean like across the world?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe he does in the comics. Maybe like one of our listeners can like, you know, correct us. But I've never seen him jump that far in the movies.
Yeah, because like in Jumper, he was jumping from America to Egypt.
Oh yeah.
To Hawaii, like. Yeah. I think that would be a great, and you know, for me, abusing it, like, this is how weird I am. Like, I don't think I could rob banks. Like, I don't, the first thought in my mind was stealing Blu-rays. I'm serious. Like,
all like, that power, and you just want to steal some Blu-rays.
Well, I don't want to steal, like, you know, I'm not a bank robber. I'm not a thief. Like, I wouldn't eat dinner and duck out on it because, you know, some waitress is going to get in trouble. Yeah. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't.
You'd be a jumper with a conscience is what you're saying.
I wouldn't skip out on bar tabs. Right. You know, like I would just. But you know what the problem with being a jumper is?
Yeah.
Like, let's say you're a jumper, Lazavath. You.
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
And you have a very overbearing family. You have overbearing friends. You have an overbearing boss.
They all
And you
are.
Have an overbearing girlfriend. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all know you can jump.
Oh.
Like, they're going to be like, hey, John, why are you late for work? Or, hey, John, can you come in today? Well, I can't. Well, can't you just jump in and do some work? Well, hey, yeah. I need a couch move, John. Can you grab it and jump it? Well, no, I'm busy. Oh. Well, how long would it take you? Like, people would, like, really, you know what I mean? Like, hey, where were you? Like, hey, come over. Come over for dinner. Well, can't you just jump here? Like, that would be terrible. So I wouldn't tell anybody.
You know what? I would just keep my cell phone off. You know, if like my cell phone died, sorry, I didn't get your message.
Yeah, like, I mean,
well, the
hey,
thing is, like,
you?
The problem is, like, if you're a jumper, like, you want to show it off, right? So, like, yeah. Your friends and family would eventually know because you'd be too busy showing off your abilities to everyone.
Yeah,
like, hey, you guys want to go to Egypt? Like, you want to see the Sphinx? Well, we can go right now for free. So,
yeah, I'm glad that I wasn't a teenager with a superpower because like I would have gone full like David Tennant from Jessica Jones, like, or like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
how if you don't have someone there, like being a good influence on you mm-hmm. and you have like the jumping power.
Yeah.
Like if you're already a delinquent and then you get that power, like Spider-Man was a good kid.
Yeah.
Like I was a ruffian. I was a troubled youth.
You were a Flash so, Thompson. Like, is what you're
yeah,
saying.
Exactly. You remember me. I would have been a living nightmare.
I thought so you like, were Flash Thompson.
Yeah. Like, I would have been. So, I mean, for me nowadays, abusing it, I just would take a lot of movies. Yeah. I would steal Blu-rays.
That's a sensible robbery, really. You're not really hurting anybody.
And like, I wouldn't take that many for people to, like, miss them. You know, I'd pop in. I'd grab a copy of Dance of the Wolves. I'd pop out.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't take any of the new releases, right?
No, I'd go to, like, the $5 bin, you know?
Yeah, season one of MASH on Blu-ray.
Exactly. See, I work in the film industry, so I'd be costing my own, you know, crew money by stealing Blu-rays. So now I'm getting that. Now you're making me have a conscience about stealing Blu-rays.
Well, wouldn't you be able to save, like, a film set's money by just jumping, like, the places? Like, hey, Mark, we need this prop, like, over here. like in the next state over. Like, all right. You know?
Yeah, but see, I wouldn't want that because then like they would just really abuse it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. Yeah. Hey, Mark, we need you here early because you don't have to drive. Well, you can't. Can you jump when you're drunk?
I'm sure you can. They probably don't recommend it.
What about tired jumping?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it's just a whole wheel. You know, I just it's stressful.
Yeah. All right. So for me, the power I want is Wolverine's mutant abilities. I mean, the claws are cool. That's like a nice bonus. But I really want the healing factor. And what I really want the healing factor for is to help reduce the effect of hangovers. Right?
Yeah. Could you get drunk? Because your body's always repairing itself?
Yeah. Like, you could just, like, listen, like I don't have a problem being drunk. It's just, like, the morning after. Like, yeah. Which is terrible. So, but I also like drinking. So it's like, well, if I had Wolverine's, like, you know, healing factor, like, I could probably drink as much as I want and never have to worry about, like, you know, cirrhosis or anything like that.
Yeah, it's always repairing itself.
Yeah. And plus, like, you know, I could, like, I think if I could never get hurt, like, I could probably, like, take more risk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could just, like, cut in line. You know, like, no.
Dude, you could parachute without using a parachute.
Yeah. I could fall to the ground.
You'd be a big splot for a while, but you'd reform.
Yeah. I would take riskier actions, like doing math and pen.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty risky.
That's really risky.
Yeah. You know, honestly, like it's kind of a cop out, but like you could also say rogue, because that way you could say like, well, if I have rogue's power, I can have any mutant abilities I want, really. So
yeah. You know what I would do? The first thing I would do if I was Wolverine, I would fight in the UFC if I could pass the blood test and just make money, right?
Yeah.
But the next thing is I would build the world's largest catapult and just let it shoot me somewhere.
And just like with your claws extended?
Yeah. I just want to know what would happen to get shot by a catapult or a trebuchet.
Well, you wouldn't get hurt. That's for sure. It's just whatever you land on is what I'm going to feel sorry for.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to like do it in a field.
Yeah. I don't know.
But, I mean, catapults are pretty tricky. What if it just shoots me straight up in the air?
But here's the problem, though, with Wolverine's power. I feel like if I were to take Wolverine's power, I would also have like those really thick mutton chops he's got. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just like, I don't know if I can pull that look off.
Like, yeah, I feel like that's a requirement.
Yeah.
I used to have really big mutton chops.
Did you?
Yeah, you don't remember that? Oh man, I had stupid. Some stupid facial hair growing up.
Yeah, I think I remember that actually.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't good. It wasn't a good look on me.
It was yeah.
But you know what though? I weighed like 250, and I was a bouncer, so no one could say anything to me. So like, I guess Wolverine did the same thing with his mutton chops.
Yeah, it's like, what are you gonna do?
Nothing. Exactly. Shave him. I do think it's weird though that when Wolverine gets burned in that Wolverine movie where he goes to Japan, his hair grows back perfectly to where it was.
Yeah. I guess it's part of his healing factor.
Like, but does it go back to where it was?
You mean the way it was styled? Like,
what if his ability had a sense of humor and just gave him an afro every time, or like gave him like dreadlocks, or gave him like a mullet?
Oh, man.
Oh, come on. Hair.
I don't know.
All right, so the answer to this question is I would grow a mullet.
Yeah, obviously.
Love it.
All right. What's our next question?
All right, so the next one is who still cares about the X-Men?
So who is who in this case? Like audiences or like the villains?
Anybody.
Anybody. I still care. I don't know if that counts.
do you care? Or are you just like, you're just going to see it anyway? Because you haven't even watched X-Men Days of Rogues of X-Men Rogue Nation. X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to wait for that to come on Netflix.
Days of Future Past.
You know what it is? Is that you know, I loved X-Men growing up when I was a kid. I still do. It's just that movie-wise, the X-Men series have been kind of outshone by the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. Yeah. And I don't know. It just feels like the X-Men movies these days are kind of in a solid second place. You know, not that it's their fault. It's just that Marvel's really, really stepping up their game lately. So I don't know. Like, I feel like the X-Men series is kind of in an awkward spot. Like, they're still putting out good movies. I mean, they were putting out superhero movies before Marvel really got started. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this list right here. I actually pulled it up. And so The Crow was 94. Yeah. That was, like, the big one. And Mask was big, too. Mm-hmm. But, like, let's see. And then Spawn happened in 97. 98 was Blade.
Yeah.
And then X-Men was 2000, followed by Spider-Man in 2002. Uh-huh. And, like, Daredevil, and then X2 and Hulk. So X-Men were really, you know, aside from, you know, Blade and those kind of movies, but X-Men was, like, the first, like, PG-13 big Marvel film. You know, there was Batman in 89, which really started it, then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But as far as, like, Marvel really pushing, like, a tentpole, you know, Blade was first, 98, but X-Men was, like, the PG-13 one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It, you know, to this day, I still think X-Men 2 was, like, one of the best superhero movies ever made.
Oh, dude, I love X-Men 2. And, yeah. Like, they keep it, even though it goes big, they still keep it small. Like, the human's a villain.
Yeah, it's just, you know, as the years have gone by and, like, you know, the other MCU movies have come out, like, it's, I'm not going to say it feels stale, but, like, I don't know, I feel like, you know, the X-Men series, like, feels like it needs to do something more. I can't really say what that is, really. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense to you. Does it?
Yeah. Well, I feel like they've been repeating the themes, and we'll get this with Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. But you had the first trilogy. Now we have the second trilogy. But it's kind of like this new trilogy is going to the same themes as the first trilogy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's just kind of repeating the past, and it's just like.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I guess, yeah, I still do care, but, like, it's just out of sense of duty, not necessarily because I'm enthusiastic about X-Men these days, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and it's just, like, and when I heard X-Men Apocalypse, I went, you know, because I'm just tired of blue angry people, but I don't know, man, so who does care about the X-Men? I mean, you're right, though, that was my favorite comic as a kid, like, I loved X-Men, so like... Oh, you know who cares about X-Men now is Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. All right, so Deadpool fans. Like, yeah.
So, I mean, now that Deadpool's cool and they have a bigger budget, I bet you they'll start bringing bigger X-Men into his world.
Wolverine, maybe?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, no, didn't... maybe. It's like Wolverine... And, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I don't see him in there, though, do you? I guess he's going R-rated, but they're so different.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, it's just, it's tough because, you know, as a kid, like, I read, like, every X-Men comic book I could. I watched a cartoon. So, like, these movies were great, but now, like, now that we're, like, what, in the sixth or seventh X-Men movie or something like that, and it's just, like... Yeah. It's just getting kind of, almost kind of stale a little bit, you know.
But just imagine an R-rated movie with Deadpool and Wolverine teaming up and battling, like.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Battling Sabretooth done right and some other great X-Men villains.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that.
Hmm. That would be amazing to watch. I don't know if Hugh Jackman's going to be up for it, though, because apparently the next Wolverine movie is going to be his last.
Yeah, it's all R-rated, too, which is, like, that'll be interesting.
Let's go on a blaze of glory. So do you still care about it, Mark?
No.
No.
I mean, listen, I'll watch them all, but I love the comics, but Days of Future Past, or I'm sorry, First Class I enjoyed. Hmm. I just enjoyed it. And then Days of Future Past I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Didn't think about it twice. And now X-Men Apocalypse was a soul crusher.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Like, it just wasn't good. And I was at the press screening a few weeks ago, And the critics, like, they were hating it. Like, they wanted to, like, burn the screen down. Like, I wasn't that angry about it.
You forgot to bring your torch.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, these reviews are going to be bad. And so a lot of, you know, Forbes said it was a killer, like a franchise killer. Like, all these, it's taken a beating. It's 50%, 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I don't understand. But it's very, the X-Men, all right, so I guess we can, do you want to jump into the?
Yeah. It's a great segue.
Yeah. Man, that was good. Yeah. So X-Men Apocalypse, I enjoyed the X-Men aspect of it. But whenever Apocalypse is on screen, he is just a life-sucking force of blue evil.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Apocalypse is one of the big bads of the X-Men universe. Like, very few characters in the X-Men universe get bigger than this guy. So,
I mean, his name's Apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly. So what you're saying is they kind of screwed up Apocalypse.
Yeah, and so in the beginning, there's actually a really great scene. It's kind of like The Mummy, but much more intense. So it's all these so Apocalypse is being walked to his actually, he's dying. He's like an old, crusty, blue alien. And he's being walked into this pyramid so he can switch consciousness into Oscar Isaac's body. And Oscar Isaac is a mutant who can heal. He's like a Wolverine type.
Yeah.
And during the process, a bunch of really badass and brave Egyptian dudes try to kill him. But it's awesome because you have all these dudes battling Apocalypse Four Horsemen who have more personality than the other Four Horsemen. But these Four Horsemen are just like, they take this one Egyptian guard and fold him up into like a pretzel. It's insanely violent. It's like fast moving. These Egyptian guys, at great cost, they end up killing the Four Horsemen and trapping Apocalypse. It's like a really great scene. I was really excited because like it felt just fun. It felt like Indiana Jones. It felt like The Mummy, but it was more violent, but it was just, it was good. And I was, it really, it made me excited about the film.
Right.
You know, cut thousands of years ahead, and Rose Byrne is in Egypt, and she's hunting down this cult made up of five guys who are, that's it. It's just five dudes. And they go, they're at some pyramid and they're mumbling something. And then some blue light comes and Apocalypse gets woken up. That easy. Like, you never hear from this cult again. Mm-hmm. So Apocalypse gets up. He's Oscar Isaac. And he goes around and he starts grabbing these four horsemen. And so the four horsemen are Storm. They're Psylocke, played by Olivia Munn. Then there's Magneto, Fassbender. Then there's this guy, Angel. So he gathers them together. And before he gathers them together, they all seem to have personalities, right? But then they become his four horsemen, and they just stand around in a semicircle.
Well, no.
Like seriously, remember in X-Men The Last Stand, the way Jean Grey just stands around behind Magneto? She's Dark Phoenix, and she just stands there?
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what they do.
And even so Olivia Fassbender? Like,
Oh, dude, yeah. And so, wow. You know, I don't want to give anything away, but he becomes part of this and through something, because this is a non-spoiler review, guys. I'm not going to let anything else too bad go. Mm-hmm. This is just the beginning of the film. And so the four of them just stand around. He ends up, like, pimping them all out, like, Pimp My Ride. He not, like, literally pimping them out. Yeah. That'd be weird. That'd be a whole different movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the, geez Louise.
So he like play that.
50 bucks. Yeah. So he's basically, they stand around in a semicircle and he ends up giving them new outfits and new weapons and face tattoos and shiny outfits and new haircuts and mohawks. And he dyes their hair and he gives them metal wings. And then they stand around in a semicircle and then cut to the X-Men. So you have all the old stock ones. You have Mystique, Jennifer Lawrence. You have Beast, Nicholas Hoult. You have James McAvoy as Professor X. And so they're just kind of doing their thing. Professor X has a school. Raven is still angry about everything, which is really weird because in this film, Mystique, over the other two films, it's always been like, hey, you need to be proud of who you are as a mutant. But Jennifer Lawrence hates being in that mutant outfit because it takes her hours to become Mystique. Yeah. So it's really a contradiction because she's basically Jennifer Lawrence the whole time. So everyone's like, oh, you're not proud of who you are. And she's like, I am proud. So then they're like, you know, they kind of start sensing like, oh, hey, there's this big blue guy rolling around and some bad things are going to happen. And then you get introduced to Cyclops, played by Ty Sheridan. You get Jean Grey, played by Sophie Turner. And then you have Cody McPhee as the new Nightcrawler, who's actually a lot of fun in this movie. And there's life to these scenes when you're meeting them. Like, Professor X is cheeky, and McAvoy has fun. You like Nightcrawler. You know, the Cyclops. There's a scene where Cyclops burns down Professor X's favorite tree on accident. And he's like, I used to play in that tree as a child. And, like, it's a really funny scene. But then Apocalypse come, and then McAvoy cries like 12 times in the movie. And then it's just the X-Men having to like unite. So it's the old crew and the new crew joining together to battle a blue guy and his four horsemen who just stand around doing nothing. And then it leads to a CGI blob fest.
So, yeah, obviously it didn't sound like you enjoyed the movie that much. Where did it first start to go wrong for you?
Anything with Apocalypse.
Really?
And, like, Olivia Munn is terrible in it. She's, you know, she turned down the Deadpool role of Marina Baccarin because she's like, I didn't want to play the girlfriend. Yeah. So instead she becomes Psylocke and just stands around in a semicircle for 2 hours.
She played Apocalypse's girlfriend.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, basically, like, just stands around next to him. And, you know, all the other four horsemen kind of have a reason to join, but she's just basically like, I'll join. So, like, you don't care about any of them. And Apocalypse, you know, you love Oscar Isaac, but you're like, why does he want to destroy the world? Why is he so monotone? Why are they standing in a semicircle? And then it's just it goes downhill anytime he's on screen because you don't care. Like, we had just watched this Baron Zemo in Captain America, right? Mm-hmm. Talk about listening to his dead wife's voicemail on, you know, like he's like a great human villain. Not great, but he's a very good human villain. And I think the majority of the best villains are human, you know, like Sam Jackson from Unbreakable and Stryker from X2. But then you have this blue guy and you're just like, shut up, Apocalypse. Like, why? You know, why are you doing this? And he's like, I'm going to kill everyone on Earth and the people who live are going to join my army. And I'm like, what? They're going to walk to Egypt? Like, so, like, let's say you and I survive Apocalypse attack, right?
Yeah.
And then you and I are like, so what's next? And then Apocalypse is like, you lived, you're going to join me. And it's like, so you have like 20 people surviving. Like, this is going to be really boring. Ugh. What, we just have to like sit around and like worship you? Like, there's no point to his plot.
Like, I wish I died.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, so I have to walk to Egypt because we can't drive? Like, there's so much rubble. You're not going to be able to drive anywhere.
No.
You and I are literally just going to be walking.
Ugh. That just sounds terrible.
Like, walking, like, how would we even get to Egypt in a boat, me and you?
Very slowly.
Like, could we navigate terrible seas?
I mean, if it was just you and me in a canoe, we were just kind of rowing pretty hard, maybe.
In a canoe?
Yeah, why not?
Like, how?
You just need to get the rhythm down.
Yeah, I guess I think you and I would probably make it 2 days before heat stroke.
Yeah.
But it's just such – the villainy is not thought out. And so I just basically wanted, like, Professor X and some of the people to go for, like, dinner and have a chat. And that's the movie.
It's
like, there's another – yeah, Quicksilver's back. He's a lot of fun. He has another Days of Future Past. There's a great scene with Quicksilver. He has a fun scene in this movie that actually got a lot of laughs in the theater.
Yeah,
I don't want to give anything away. And there's also the three young kids, Nightcrawler, Jubilee, who has a tiny role. The young kids, they go and watch Return of the Jedi. Oh, and they make a comment about how the third films are always crap. So they were referring to X-Men The Last Stand. But the thing is, X-Men The Last Stand, Bryan Singer was supposed to do it. Then he left to go do Superman. So he's making a dig on a film that he left.
Yeah.
And he's making a dig of a film that he left in a film that's not good.
Total dick move, Singer.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, hey, we're X-Men and you're out. Like, I don't know all the behind-the-scenes things, but he left to go do Superman. And he took James Marsden with him, who also got killed in X-Men The Last Stand. So he left. A movie was made. Roger Ebert reviewed X-Men The Last Stand. And he said he felt bad for Brett Ratner because he said Brett Ratner's only job was to keep about 10 plates spinning at the same time. Like, you can't focus on one plate that long because you're going to be going, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
So he's making fun of a movie that he left in a bad movie.
I have the mental image of Brett Ratner, like, spinning 10 plates at the same time. And then you have Bryan Singer just, like, coming around, like, trying to push him.
Exactly. And then making fun of him for it. Like, it's not like it's like this movie. By the time you're at the final action scene, because this movie's 2.5 hours long, you're just like, you don't care. You just want Professor X to, you know, James McAvoy to go to like Waffle House with the mutants and just talk about, you know, movies. Like, I wish Kevin Smith directed this movie.
Yeah. So what's your final verdict on this movie? They should just went to Waffle House?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I do. It's they should have it Waffle House directed by Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I think now's a good time to take a break. But when we come back, I think we should try to figure out where this movie ranks among the other X-Men movies.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Can we add waffle? Could we go to Waffle House between the break?
That's the reason why I'm going on break right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, podcast listeners. Robert here, along with Kyle.
What's up?
And John.
Hey.
We're here to talk to you about a little podcast that we do called Shark Dropper.
Yeah.
What do we talk about in Shark Dropper?
Oh, all kinds of things. Kyle, name one of them.
Oh, geez. Walking across America.
John, name another.
Ooh, video games.
No, we never talk about that.
Yeah, that's
so
stupid.
So if you want to listen to Shark Dropper, don't listen for the video
games. We talked about video games last week.
You know what? Just don't listen to John at all.
John, okay. Just don't listen to him talk.
Okay. Yeah.
that's a good rule of thumb.
But if you want to listen to me and Kyle talk, along with John intermittently, but really don't listen to that part.
Hi, guys.
Go visit sharkdropper.com because you can find everything there.
Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks, and just fresh back from Waffle House. That was a good meal.
Yeah, I mean, I think I ate too much.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's the problem with Waffle House. Like, you always eat too much there because they give you so much food.
And you talked us out of not paying the bill, and we jumped out of there.
Yeah. It's literally, we jumped out of there. No, I'm just kidding. We love you, Waffle House. We would never skip out on the bill there.
Again.
Yeah. Actually, it's been forever since I've been to a Waffle House. Like, I don't even know if they still, like, serve waffles there. I would hope so.
Can I ask you a question, and I want you to answer it seriously?
Okay.
Pancakes. Is there a food on this planet where you start off with pancakes, right, and you're like, this is the best ever?
Yeah.
And then about two in, you're like, I hate life.
Probably a deep dish pizza. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a good idea at first, and like after the first slice, it's like, oh, this is amazing. But then you get started like in the second slice, and like halfway through that slice, you're like, oh, I should have just gotten a salad.
And you can't just quit. Like, no. I feel like with pancakes, you can't go in moderation.
No. Pancakes, deep dish pizzas, 32-ounce steaks. Like, there's no turning point. Like, you're either in or you're out, you know?
Yeah. It's like it's and you always regret it.
Yeah. Well, except for the steak. I've never regretted eating the steak before in my life.
But 32 ounces? I got to see this.
Yeah.
Well, I ate a 14er the other day, and I was like, woo!
Oh. No, there's like a local place around here. They have like, you know, like every place has like a food challenge. Like the local steakhouse around here has like a, it was like a 40 or 50 ounce steak. Like, eat that, and it's free. Like a challenge.
Gosh, you're going to be sweating meat for like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I would be in a meat coma.
I'd be going to like a spinning class the next day.
Oh, man.
You would just smell like a piece of steak.
No,
meat
I go.
Meat sweats.
I got the meat sweats. Oh, speaking of meat sweats, I think it's time to answer some listener questions.
Yeah, right? No, perfectly.
Yeah.
nothing gives me the meat sweats like yeah. A good listener question.
Yeah.
Next week on Steak Talk. All right, so the next one is, it comes from Megan on Twitter, and it said, what villain could carry their own movie?
Apparently not Apocalypse.
No. Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I want Jeff Bridges from Iron Man, and I just want people to not give him hamburgers for 90 minutes.
Oh, man. He would just be so ornery.
Hey, man, can I get that burger? I only have one.
Oh.
Can I get that steak? I only ordered one. Oh, wait. And he bought pizza one time. He brought pizza from New York.
Yeah.
And I think Robert Downey Jr. like turned him down. So like he has a lot of food related problems in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, plus he's also the dude. Like, come on. Just give him like a burger.
Yeah. Whatever. So like, I guess what, you know, I want Parker Posey from Blade Trinity to have her own movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting one. Really?
Yeah. Like, I just want to see her. I want like a Before Sunrise type movie where she just, I want a prequel. Actually, I want to learn about how she became a vampire.
Okay. That could be pretty interesting, actually.
Because she's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And she has, like, that big old pompadour hair. She was, like, she made Ryan Reynolds a slave. Like, I just want a movie learning. Because she was that age before she became a vampire.
Right.
So I want to see the story of Parker Posey becoming a vampire.
No, I'd probably watch it. And then Blade comes along.
Yeah, exactly.
Aw.
Like, who else would be good?
For me, I would go with Thomas Hayden Church's The Sandman. He didn't really get a chance to shine on his own because kind of they had to shoehorn Venom and Topher Grace in there. You know, I felt like he was one of the better parts of Spider-Man 3. You know, I wish he had a chance to kind of do his own thing. You know,
and that was especially disappointing because that came after Sideways.
Yeah. He was riding like a little hot streak there. And then Spider-Man 3 happened.
He cooled him down.
No, I just remember at the time, like when he first turned into Sandman, where he kind of was in that sand pit, like that was amazing. I'm like, wow, like I'm really excited for this movie. And then, you know, the rest of the movie happened. I'm like, I don't know. But yeah, Sandman.
And then I want.
Yeah.
I'll go for it. Sorry.
No, go for it.
Sandman? Oh, okay. That was a nice little pause. What about this? Parker Posey from Superman Returns.
Oh, wow.
I want to know how her character got hooked up with Lex Luthor.
That'd be pretty.
I just want a bunch of Parker Posey prequels.
It'll probably be a better movie than Man of Steel. I don't know.
It'd probably be what? Oh, it'd be better than Man of Steel? Oh my gosh, yeah, it would. Yeah. That movie hurts my soul. And also, I want a Scarecrow movie. Cillian Murphy. Because I want. All right, so after Batman Begins, he gets shocked, and then he gets drugged. Then I want to get a movie from there, right? At the end of Batman Begins. Then I want to know how he becomes a crime lord. Then I want to know how he escapes prison and becomes like judge, jury, and executioner in A Dark Knight Rises. Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Amazing.
I thought it would be amazing.
Oh,
oh yeah. Quick question about this question. Oh, go ahead.
What? You go for it.
Yeah, quick question about this question. Is it just like limited to movie villains?
Yeah, I think she just meant comic book.
Oh, well, comic book villains, like I would say like, you know, Kilgrave and Kingpin, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
From the Netflix shows. Like Kilgrave, like what an amazing villain. The best
he
villain
scared me.
The best villain Marvel's ever done, really. That includes all the movies. And Kingpin, I think he could carry his own movie, really. Like he's just like a fascinating character in the way D'Onofrio portrays him. Like it's just spot on. Like I would love to see like a Kingpin movie.
There's two things I love because you at any moment Kingpin will just rip your head off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I love that about him. He goes from like this normal dude to petulant child that's murdering you. And then what I also love about Kilgrave is he knows in his head that these people know that they're being controlled. Mm-hmm. So I think that adds like a level of just evil.
Yeah.
Like he knows that these people are going to remember him and know that they were like under his control and they'll remember being forced into doing this. He's a scary dude.
Yeah.
He's also like kind of a petulant kid too, because no one's ever told him no.
Yeah. I mean,
so I find that interesting too. Like he's very selfish and like spoiled almost. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense really. And David Tennant just kind of realized that immediately about the character. He just kind of portrayed that really well, I think. Now, as far as Kingpin goes, I want to see a Kingpin movie in a style of Scarface, where just shows him slowly, like working his way up the ranks of
oh my goodness.
of the mob scene in New York. I just want like a really bloody crime movie in the style of Scarface with Kingpin as the main character.
Like, oh my goodness.
That'd be so amazing to watch. It'll never happen. But, you know, speaking of Kingpin, there were rumors that he might show up in a future Spider-Man movie because Kingpin is one of Spider-Man's main enemies.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I just don't know how well that'll mesh because the MCU Kingpin is more R-rated than the Spider-Man that's in the MCU right now. So I don't know. They're gonna have to tone down Kingpin if he's gonna appear in the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, because he's well. Yeah, you're right. Well, does he swear much, Kingpin?
He doesn't swear, but he bashes people's heads in with car doors.
So. I guess you would just have to cut that strategically. You know what I mean?
You could still make him kind of unhinged. You know, kind of creepy. Like, you could still keep his persona. You just can't show like the graphic stuff. And like, I don't know. Like, I want to see the graphic stuff when it comes to Kingpin. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't want no Diet Cola Kingpin.
No.
I don't want no Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah. Give me classic Coke Kingpin.
Yeah, exactly. Classic Coke.
Yeah. So I think the answer to that question is classic Coke over Crystal Pepsi.
And then I got one more quick one for us.
All right.
Does Gambit's gambling problem give him greater gain than grave disdain? And so Gambit is the expert who's Haitian. He's going to be played by Chenim soon. He's from Louisiana. And he can, you know, he turns playing cards into like flaming orbs. I don't really know his power, even though I love Gambit.
He can make
basically
things,
he's an X-Men. So do you think his gambling is good or bad for him?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like whenever you see him, like, he's never like a high roller. Like, he's always kind of a guy who's kind of down on his luck or like people always chasing him. So I feel like that's due to his gambling issues. Right. It probably doesn't help him, which doesn't make sense because I feel like, you know, whenever he gets like a bad beat, can he just make the cards like spontaneously combust?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't lose. The cards exploded.
No proof.
Exactly.
So, I mean, they're saying here it's a gambling problem. So for me, it's like, I don't think a gambling problem's ever good. Like, have you seen that movie Mississippi Grind with Ryan Reynolds and Ben Mendelsohn?
No.
I just want a movie where Gambit goes around the seediest gambling joints in the country and just loses money in terrible casinos.
He has to run away from mob sharks.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I want to see him owing people money.
Yeah.
Like, what if the Hulk owes people? Like, what if Thor owes a human money?
He wouldn't care.
Can you collect?
What are you going to do? Here, you can have my hammer.
Yeah, imagine being like the loan shark.
Yeah. I'm like,
Hey, Vinny, go get my money from Thor. What?
Oh, man. Yeah, he's probably going to give you his hammer, but his hammer's worth a lot of money. So, yeah, make sure you jump on that. I'm like, wait, isn't the hammer only picked up by Thor? I'm like, nah, you can pick it up if you're wordy. Well, I don't know.
If I'm not, you're fired.
Oh, man.
Like, Thor's a real jerk in gambling circles, isn't he?
Yeah, I'd be too if I was a god.
Yeah, I guess I would too.
Oh, I lost? Okay, I'm still a god. Can I just fly away?
Like, you know what, Thor? I'm not paying you because you owe me $1 million. You're not paying me?
I think, like, one of the few scenes that I liked in the first Thor movie is when they're in that diner. And Thor's like, oh, this is really good. And he just slams the cup to the ground. More.
Yeah. He's smashing coffee cups.
Yeah. I feel like he would take, like, a similar attitude when it comes to gambling. Like, oh, I lost. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Oh, man. Thor's a real jerk.
Yeah. So the answer to that question is Thor is a jerk.
Yep.
Jerk.
I hate him.
Okay.
All right, so let's rank these movies, huh?
Okay, so before we went to break, we discussed Apocalypse. It didn't sound like it was Mark's favorite movie. X-Men movie. So I'm guessing it's not going to be really high. I think, why don't we start from the bottom here, right?
Okay. So we're looking at X-Men, X2, X-Men The Last Stand, X-Men Origins Wolverine, X-Men First Class, The Wolverine, X-Men Days of Future Past, X-Men Apocalypse, and Deadpool. So those are the movies we have to rank.
Yes, Deadpool counts.
Yep.
Okay. So my first thought is Last Stand is the worst, right?
Okay, what? Why?
It was... well, let's see. The plot was terrible. They killed off Cyclops in the first 5 minutes. Yeah, it felt like a half-hearted X-Men movie, which wasn't, you know, necessarily the fault of, like, the director or the actors. It was just, like, a lot of external things that happened that kind of resulted in this mess, really.
Like, you brought up X-Men The Last Stand, and every time I hear that movie name, I smile. Right. Like, this movie's garbage. But, like, you know, James Marsden wanted to go to Superman, so they killed him off. So, like when I hear this movie, I could never put this movie as last because it just makes me happy. Like, there's a scene where a mutant is trying to hunt Wolverine and the mutant's holding a baseball bat. And, like, there's another mutant that attacks Wolverine and Wolverine keeps cutting the guy's arms off and the guy keeps regenerating. And Wolverine solves the problem by kicking him in the balls. Like, this movie is dumb. It's terribly underwritten. It wastes its characters. It kills them off. But it's just, like, fun. For me, like, if this was on TV right now, I could watch it and, like, not hate the experience, even though it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess. But, like, that scene where they also kill off Professor X. Like,
oh, gosh.
I don't know. Well, even though they, like, kind of, quote-unquote, kind of bring him back at the after-credits scene, it just...
Oh, gosh.
I don't know.
Yeah, they kill him off. They take Magneto's powers. They give Magneto his powers back.
Yeah.
And, like, so, but the worst one for me is X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that movie just never had a chance, and it didn't even have a sense of humor. Like, it's bad, and it's not fun.
It was, like, I remember seeing that in the theater, and, like, when the credits started rolling, I remember thinking to myself, like, man, I just feel, like, really bad for watching this movie. Like, I don't, not like, oh, I feel bad for the movie. Like, no, I felt, like, bad for myself. Like, I felt bad for myself because I had to watch this movie. And it was just like, oh, why did I watch this movie? It just felt wrong, you know?
And there's so many good actors. Liev Schreiber, Ryan Reynolds, you know, they brought in Danny Houston, who's a very good actor.
Mm-hmm.
It's loaded with really good. So I used to, when I taught speech, I used to, like, tell my students, I thought X-Men Origins opened strongly aside from, like, the kids. Like, I liked watching Sabretooth and Wolverine fight their way through those wars.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of, like, on a high for, like, the first 30 minutes. And then I realized the movie was complete garbage. But it took me 30 minutes to realize that because I liked the first 10 minutes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I always told my students to start strong because even if your speech is crap, you'll get away with, like, half of it.
Yeah, you just kind of coast on the open.
But then it goes so bad, and they waste the actors. The only line – I think there's only one line of dialogue I remember, and that is when Ryan Reynolds is talking about his swords. He's like, bring a couple of these in your ex-girlfriend's wedding and, like, see how people react. Like, there's one good line. Motivation shift. There's, like, some weird subplot about him getting married, but then of course they just murder her because, you know, they can, which is terrible.
Yeah.
It's just such, like, a I know that they brought in Gavin Hood and it was during the writer's strike, so, like, they couldn't even really write the movie with, like, professional writers, and then the director had only directed this tiny South African film. So, like, you have a guy that's only done a tiny South African film. Yeah. And then the movie was just a total failure on every level.
I'm starting to remember why this movie made me feel so bad for myself. It's because, like, towards the end, you know, after learning all this stuff about Wolverine, and then, like, Wolverine kind of goes through, like, all his character development. He just gets shot in the head, and then, like, all of a sudden he has amnesia. So basically, the entire movie is rendered, you know, moot and just useless, like, at this point. And just, like, oh, I just wasted my time. Like, Wolverine just lost his memory, and, like, none of that really matters anymore because he just, like, walks away. And it's just like, ugh, why did I just watch this?
The movie made itself pointless.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this. It should also be noted that this was the first appearance of Deadpool in a movie, and they really butchered that to hell, too. You know?
They sewed his mouth shut.
Exactly. That's, like, one of the best qualities of Deadpool. It's, like, his sarcastic mouth, and you just took that away. Yeah. I don't know.
I think the one positive about this movie is Wolverine had that cool leather jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Redeeming quality.
It goes good with his mutton chops.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the first 10 minutes were okay in the leather jacket.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right, so that's my least favorite. What's your second? What's the one after that?
Probably. So you're probably gonna disagree with me on this one, but I'm gonna go with the first X-Men, actually.
Ooh, interesting.
So it was, you know, to be fair, it is like an origin story, and origin stories are never all that good. And I feel like for X-Men 1, like, it was just. I mean, when I first saw it, like, I thought it was great, but, like, it just doesn't hold up. Like, that movie doesn't hold up at all. You know, I just feel like I'm just like, eh. Like, I always just default to X2 as, like, kind of, you know, quote-unquote, the first X-Men movie for me. You know? It was just like...
You know, we'll just do your rankings, because this is fun.
Yeah, because X-Men 1, like, it was just like, it felt like a chore, or a checkbox that they just had to get out of the way, you know? I'm just like, yeah.
You know what they did well was they captured the tone really well.
They did. But ultimately, it didn't, like, really do
they
much.
Captured.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, go for it.
Ultimately, it just didn't really have, like, much of an impact on me compared to, like, the other movies, like X2, you know.
You didn't like the scene where Holly Berry, who plays Storm, she's going after Ray Park's evil guy Toad, and she goes, you know what happens to a toad when it gets hit by lightning? The same thing that happens to everybody else.
Yeah.
That's a line in the movie. You know, I was reading Roger Ebert's review for it, and he got pretty bawdy. Like, he got rowdy with his review. He's like, so the bad guys are a naked lady who can change into different people and a guy who has a really long tongue. He's like, these are basically moves a stripper would kill for.
Oh, nice.
I was like, geez Louise, Ebert.
Wow.
Then he also wondered how Klops goes to bed with women with his goggles on.
Yeah.
I'm like, geez, I was like, damn, because that was one of the questions we have too. My buddy Donnie Brewski, who's a maniac, he's like, is it awkward that Cyclops has to wear sunglasses during sex, or does he get in that weird blindfold stuff? So I was like, this is pretty crazy, but then I realized Ebert asked that. But I guess for me, he kind of has to have them on. So I think whoever his partner is probably happy about it.
Unless, like, his partner also has, like, you know, adamantium skin or, like, something like that, where she could handle that. Or no, maybe, ooh, like, well, yeah. No, I think he's, like, into, like, the hardcore BDSM stuff.
Cyclops?
Yeah. I mean, he gets blindfolded and all that. Like, he's into that. He seems like he'd be into that, right?
Just like the good guy that has a sordid past?
Yeah. You know, he's all prim and proper and, like, all, you know. But I bet you he's got, like, a seedy dark side.
So you're saying he would be the bad guy in Nick Cage's movie 8mm?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's not go that far.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That guy was messed up.
back up. Beep, beep, beep. All right, so you got X-Men. What's the next one?
Okay. The next one, you know, I'm not going to include Days of Future Past because I still haven't seen that yet, actually.
Okay. Well, I'll fit it in between your movies.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Deadpool here, you know. The reason why it's not higher is because it's strictly not an X-Men movie. But it was, like, really enjoyable. I enjoyed it more than the previous movies we talked about. You know, we actually did, like, a whole podcast about Deadpool. But it was it was a really enjoyable movie. And I felt like it incorporated some of the X-Men elements pretty well. You know.
I'm going to put this out into the world. If you say Deadpool is the best X-Men movie, I want to give you a Charlie horse.
Yeah.
Because it's not. Like, it's a good movie that captures the character well, but you can't say it's the best X-Men movie. You know what I mean?
But it is a better X-Men movie than some of the other X-Men movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
For sure. It's a better X-Men movie than the Wolverine.
Yeah.
Did you like the Wolverine?
I was actually, that's my next pick, the Wolverine.
What a boring movie.
Yeah, but you know, it was better than X-Men Origins.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess my biggest problem was it's an explosively mediocre movie.
There we go.
Like it's perfectly suitable. Like, it's adequately perfect. It's perfectly adequate.
You know, for me, the only bar it had to kind of surpass was X-Men Origins, and it did that. Yeah. You know,
it did have me worried in the beginning though, because it was basically just Wolverine with a beard drinking from a bottle that just went said whiskey. Like, it's not Schmitzky's whiskey; it's just whiskey.
Yeah, Schmitzky's whiskey, like, sounds great.
Yeah, no, I love some Schmitzky's whiskey. But for me, like, I liked some scenes. I liked those crazy we did a henchman podcast where we talk about these henchmen, these crazy Yakuza guys who fought Wolverine on top of a train. That's an inspired scene. There's some inspired moments, but the lady in there, the bad guy, she's terrible. Mm. And then the end just kind of goes to CGI. But what I guess what I do like is how small stakes it is. Like, it's not
right.
It's not big at all. But I kept, like, a lot of the suspense was taken out of me, because you know Wolverine's not going to, like, I know people don't normally die, but nobody in this movie was a challenge for Wolverine.
No. It's I mean, it wasn't, like, the best X-Men movie ever, but I somewhat enjoyed it. I went in with super tempered expectations, though, so, yeah.
Dude, imagine if Darren Aronofsky directed it, like, originally was supposed to.
Oh.
The guy who directed Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
And the Fountain.
Yeah. That would have been amazing.
Directing the Wolverine.
Don't know what happened there. Okay. So my next movie is X-Men First Class, actually. I really enjoyed this movie. It was a nice mix-up. This came right after The Last Stand. The Last Stand was, like, almost a franchise killer, but I think First Class, like, kind of brought it back. You know, they kind of shifted the focus a bit. They put it more on Magneto and Professor Xavier, and they set the movie in the past, which is like a really cool touch. Because, like, normally you've never really see, like, these superhero movies set in another time frame. It's always, like, in modern day. So it was really cool seeing a superhero movie set in the past. Like, it was a really good cast too. You know, yeah. McAvoy, Fassbender, like. I think they did. A lot of people are going to disagree with me. I think they're a better Magneto, Professor X than, you know, Stewart and McKellen.
Yeah, I mean, they just had fun. Like, you could tell that these two just enjoyed, well, not Fassbender, but McAvoy, you could tell, had a fun time being like a swinging, smart dude. Like, there was a joy to this movie. Like, it didn't get slogged down in the later ones.
Yeah. It had, like, a nice pace to the movie. It went pretty quick. It just never felt like it was taking itself too seriously. Like, I remember the scene where, like, the recruits were kind of, like, getting to know each other, and they were just kind of showing off, like, their powers and all that. Like, that was a fun little scene. Like, you know, like, that one girl, like, she was showing off her wings. The Banshee was, like, you know, screaming. And then you have the kid with the laser disc. He was just
Havoc.
Like, yeah. Like, that was a fun scene. That scene kind of represents, like, the whole tone of the movie. Like, it's just, like, really cool special effects, like, really fun, like, a lot of cool characters. And, yeah, that's basically what First Class was. I enjoyed it greatly.
And director Matthew Vaughn, he did, you know, Stardust, Layer Cake, Kick-Ass, Kingsman. He's able to capture this kind of fun, competent vibe.
Yeah.
Like, does that make sense? Like, he's just very – the movie just feels very different. Yeah. Like, it's very breezy. And, like, even the heavy moments with Costner – or not Costner, Bacon –
yeah.
Kevin Bacon, not Kevin Costner. That's Man of Steel. But yeah, like, there's some weight to it. And I would put this right there. I like First Class more than I like Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Although I will say it is breezy, but sometimes it's breezy to a fault. Like, I remember, like, one of the very the final scene where Magneto stops, all those missiles are firing, and then you see, like, the ship commander is like, "Oh crap." I'm just like, why would you fire him in the first place? Like, you knew he was gonna do that. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, it's a good movie. It's a not like a perfect movie, but like it's a fun movie to watch, really.
Yeah, it's suitable. So this leaves us with the last and the best, right?
Yes. That would be X-Men 2. actually. Or just X2.
X2.
Yeah.
But then they had to add X-Men United because just in case people didn't know what it was.
So what did I love about this movie? Everything, really. Really an awesome villain, Stryker. You had
human.
Yeah. Yeah. A human character. He had like very clear motivations. He had like a decent plan. You had more character development for all the major characters. The only bad thing I could think of is Kelly Hu's character, Lady Deathstrike. She just kind of shows up and never says a word, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of a bad thing to say about this movie. It was a well-paced movie. The action was great.
I mean, that opening scene with Nightcrawler, that's probably one of my favorite moments in X-Men history.
Yeah.
This Nightcrawler whipping up the people in the president's office.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the scene where Cyclops, where Jean Grey dies because she turns into Dark Phoenix and saves everybody else. This is a movie people complain about Marvel, but this movie killed off some characters. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But there's also a sense of fun. Remember when Mystique beat up all those people, then slid away and flicked everyone off? So like the end was like this crazy climactic like tear fest where Cyclops is crying, Wolverine's crying, you know, I'm crying. You know, the guy next to me was crying.
The movie theater usher was crying.
I'm sure every crew member on set was crying.
Yeah.
You know, like people waiting outside knew we were crying, so they were crying. Like the movie hit. Like I don't know. It just was. I mean, the one thing Ebert made fun of it because he said that people with the same powers fight each other. It's never like mix matched.
Yeah.
But, and then people hate the scene where Magneto just happens to be there to save their plane.
Well.
But, I don't know. I forgave everything. I love this movie. Like, I love the bad guy. Alan Cumming was really good. Storm actually had something to do. Lady Deathstrike, even though she didn't say anything, I still kind of liked that. I liked her fingernails and I liked that he killed her, right? And she wasn't really in control. Didn't he have like some thing on her? So he killed a mutant that she wasn't really in control of herself. So even like the death that Wolverine, you know, when he killed Deathstrike, he realized that that was kind of a bad thing to do. Like, that death counted. So even like the villain's body count meant something.
Yeah. It was like the first superhero sequel that I saw that really was really good, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I loved it. Loved this movie. And like between Spider-Man 2 and X2, those are probably two of my top five superhero films of all time.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 was great.
Yeah. I love those. All right, cool. So I think we got all the X-Men movies ranked.
Yeah. So what's the future of the X-Men movies, you think?
Well, so Apocalypse just made $100 million overseas.
Wow.
It's not going to make anywhere near. It's not going to be bigger than, the last one, Days of Future Past, made $785 million. This one, though, after Batman vs. Superman and Captain America, I think there will be superhero fatigue. So I think it's going to make, it's going to clear 500 million worldwide. I'm certain of that, maybe even 700. I don't see it clearing a billion, though. But I think that's still enough money, and they plan on taking the next X-Men movie into the 90s.
Yeah.
So the one thing is everybody likes these new characters. I like the new characters. So I hope it is a success. We ditch Apocalypse. We add like a human villain and we listen and, get a good 90s soundtrack and they play towards the strengths as opposed to focusing on a big blue evil guy.
Do you think maybe like through no fault of its own, like the franchise has basically just run its course, is like, are we just like running out of X-Men stories to tell on screen?
Yeah, I do. I think, what are they going to do in the 90s? Because basically, if they go to the 90s, it's the same story as the first X-Men movie.
They're all going to wear flannel. Crap. They're all going to wear flannel, like listen to grunge. wear JNCO jeans.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Nirvana.
Yeah.
It's going to be, the villain's going to be a cappuccino distributor.
Oh.
He's gonna plan on over caffeinating the world.
There'll be some semisonic songs, some Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, exactly. Hootie and the Blowfish.
You know what? I think I want to see this movie. Yeah. Now that I think about it.
I mean, it's just, but you know what's crazy? They're going full circle.
Oh, yeah. Because the first X-Men movie came out like in the late 90s.
Yeah, 98.
Man, that's, you just kind of blew my mind there, actually.
So basically, are they just going to re-release? Oh, it was made in 2000, X-Men. Oh. So they're just going to, they should just re-release X-Men.
It's an okay movie. That's all I'd say. Let me know when they re-release X2. I'll be there.
Yeah, there we go. They're just going to be retelling the same stories.
Which they've kind of already started doing, I guess.
They should cast Dougray Scott as Wolverine. This Dougray Scott was originally supposed to be Wolverine. He was cast. But the filming went so long on Mission Impossible 2 that they had to drop out and they brought in Hugh Jackman.
Mm. I think that worked out pretty well.
Give Scott a second chance.
Yeah. So I think it's what's happened to X-Men now. It's probably what's going to happen to the MCU movies in the maybe distant future. Like, it's just going to run its course. You're just going to run out of stories to tell. And I think X-Men is where the MCU is going to be sometime in the future, I think. That's just
maybe in the days of future past.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Marvel seems like it's got, like, a pretty good plan for the next couple of years, so. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. And then, I don't know. You know what sucks, though? If they make another X-Men movie that's perfectly subpar, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, same here. I'm not going to enjoy it.
Like, I'm not going to go into it with, like, anger. It's just not going to be enjoyable.
It's just like, it's like a chore. Like, I got to wash the dishes. I got to rake the yard. I got to watch the new X-Men movie. They do the laundry, you know, in that order.
You know what? This is what they need to do. Parker Posey needs to be the villain in the 1990s. Her and Ethan Hawke.
Oh.
Gen X villains.
That would be pretty awesome, actually. I don't know.
Days of future, I don't care. It's all nihilistic. What's the world even mean?
I miss the 90s.
Wait, X-Men, I miss the 90s?
Yeah. All right. Well, before we sign off, are there any plugs you want to make?
Yeah, guys, the Lambcast, you know, make sure to check out the Lamb, the largest association of movie blogs. Wonderful site. If you are a movie blogger, if you plan on doing that, look into them. They're a great system to have. Also, Shark Dropper, guys. Check out all the Shark Dropper pods. Head to Blog Talk Radio. Rate, review, subscribe. Also, if you have any questions, let us know.
Yeah. Also, check out WaffleHouse.com. Really, really good deals going on right now. I think. I don't know. I haven't been to Waffle House in forever.
Just don't get the pancakes.
No. Get the waffles at Waffle House. You go to IHOP for the pancakes.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
All right. For my co-host, Mark Hoffmeyer.
Hey, guys. Yes. Jeff Goldblum.
Okay. I've been your host. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you guys next time.
We're above the target. T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.